So Dale Devitt was going to give this presentation, but for teaching duties, who couldn't make it. So I'm Lena Wright. I put my name first on this presentation. Don't tell him. So this is part of the same study that Mike Young was talking about, but it's the mesoscale. We created some life seminars out at a research site and packed those, and I'll get into that a little bit later. But pharmaceuticals and personal care products have been showing up in bodies of waters, lakes, streams, rivers, that type of thing. In the literature, they've been considered an emerging contaminant, and reclaimed water is one source of these compounds. The water treatment facilities are not designed to remove them, so when it passes through, it's generally, well, in Las Vegas, it's discharged to the Colorado River system, which is also the source where we pull our drinking water. The alternate use to using this reclaimed water is as an irrigation source. So, like Mike had mentioned, several golf courses currently use reclaimed water for irrigation purposes, but we want to be aware of these compounds moving through the soil profile and possibly reaching groundwater sources. So for our experimental design, we created 24 lysimeters, and half of those are packed with a loamy sand, and the other half are packed with a sandy loam type soil. And then half are irrigated to impose a 5% leaching fraction, and the others were a 25% leaching fraction. And then half were left bare, which you can see. This is a loamy sand and the sandy loam, and then the other half were covered with turf grass. Each one of these lysimeters is a non-weighing lysimeter. It's capped on the bottom. They're approximately 127 centimeters in length and 61 centimeters in diameter. In the bottom 7 centimeters, there's diatomaceous earth, in which these ceramic drainage samplers were installed. In the center, there is a profiler access probe so we can assess the soil moisture within the columns. And redox probes were installed at 15 and 105 centimeters to assess aerobic versus anaerobic conditions in the lysimeters. Finally, the lysimeters were irrigated with reclaimed water for 745 days. Over the 745 days, we maintained a strict water balance. And this is kind of a lot of data. I don't expect you to memorize all of it. But the only thing that I wanted to kind of point out was the irrigation for these lysimeters. The lowest leaching fraction lysimeters were irrigated around 250 centimeters over 745 days, while the higher leaching fractions received as much as 550 centimeters over the two-year period. Over this time period, the lysimers established a quasi-semi-state condition within the lysimeters. The loamy sands are near the top, and the sandy loams are the grafts near the bottom. You can see there's a difference in storage between the two soil types. The loamy sand equilibrated around 30 centimeters, while the sandy loams equilibrated around 50 centimeters. You can see down here in the sandy loam that the 5% leaching fractions did not reach their quasi-steady state until after the overseed period, where a lot of irrigation is going on. In fact, these 5% leaching fraction lysimeters did not begin to drain until after the overseed period, which can also be seen if you graph the pore volumes of unsaturated drainage over time for these lysimeters. The 25% leaching fraction for the loamy sands reached between 5 and 6 pore volumes by the end of the study, while the 5% leaching fraction sandy loams didn't even reach 1 pore volume after 745 days. You can see this orange line did not begin to even drain until after the overseed period. So we also collected redox values on a weekly basis. The 15-centimeter graphs are near the top in the brown and the green, and the 105 centimeters are the graphs near the bottom. The 15-centimeter redox probes had this slight downward shift in redox values slightly before the overseed period. This drop in redox for all of the turf grass indicates a reduction in oxygen in the root zone, which may be an indication of microbial activity. The 105 centimeter redox probes are a little bit more muddled, but for the sandy loam at 25%, you can see this very sharp decline in redox values, which definitely indicates a reducing condition near the bottom of the sandy loam lysimeters. So now we have some of the data of what's going on inside the lysimeters. We can move on to the compounds. And these are the 14 compounds that we analyzed for in the irrigation and the drainage samples, which there's a few additions in these ones rather than the golf course samples. We have primidone and dilantin, for example. These were analyzed by Jay Gann's lab at UCR. And you can see there's quite a bit of difference in the ingoing. These are for the irrigation samples, and they're in nanograms per liter. Primidone is around 26 nanograms per liter, while sulfamethoxazole was over 1,600 nanograms per liter averaged over the course of the study. These higher standard deviations and coefficients of variance somewhat make sense because we're pulling reuse water from a water treatment plant. So you have a difference in influx of these compounds over time, kind of showing a shift in what the community is actually taking. Like Mike had mentioned earlier, concentrations are a good place to start, but it's the mass balance of what's going on the lysimeters and then what's passing through the columns that can be interesting. So these are some selected compounds. They're mass drainage for the lysimeters in milligrams per hectare per year. So this is the mass that was draining through the lysimeters scaled up to a hectare per year. Just very briefly, we can notice that in the 5% loamy sand, the mass averages are quite a bit less than in the higher leaching fraction for the same soil type under the same cover type conditions. Sulfamethoxazole is around 85 milligrams, while in the 25% leaching fraction, it's around 250. And then comparing across soil types, carbamazepine in the sandy loam wasn't detected, while sulfamethoxazole is decreased in the different soil type. So it's also useful to look at what the mass flux is, so comparing how much went on the lysimeters compared to what came out, which can be seen in this graph here. If you recall, sulfamethoxazole for the high-leaching, sandy-type soils was around 250 milligrams, but if you compare that to what went on the lysimeters, it was less than 1% passing through the soil column. Conversely, primidone, which can be seen in this light bluish color, went on at around 26 nanograms per liter, but 25% passed through the soil column under the high leaching, sandy type soil. Just another very kind of general conclusion for these mass percent discharge. There's higher mass discharge in the sandy type soils compared to the loamy. There's higher percent discharge in the loamy sands compared to the sandy loam soils. There's also higher mass discharge for the 25% compared to the 5% leaching fractions. And that's some of the influence on the mass discharge, but other factors can influence them. So we did a multiple regression analysis, and we incorporated soil types, cover versus bare, redox condition, organic matter, and biomass that was removed from the top of the lysimeters, and incorporated those variables into the analysis. So for primidone, you can see that soil type and number of pore volumes were important in the regression, but redox at 105 centimeters also played a factor. And with these factors, we were able to account for 94% of the variability in the mass discharge for these compounds for primidone. Carbamazepine, number of pore volumes of pass-through were important, but the percent of organic matter within also seemed to be a factor influencing the amount that was passed through the soil profile. For sulfamethoxazole, biomass played a factor. And in 4 out of the ones shown, redox at within the lysimeter played a factor, whether it enhanced drainage or whether it reduced the mass discharge. So just very generally, we detected 9 out of the 14 compounds in the drainage. Sulfamethoxazole and primidone were compounds that were seen most often. The other ones that were detected were a little bit more sporadic in the drainage. Tenolol, etrivastin, fluoxetine, gamphirazole, and trimethoprim were not detected in the drainage, whether they were degraded or whether they were absorbed into the soil column. We don't have that data yet. Sulfamethoxazole had the highest mass discharge at 250 milligrams per hectare per year, but it was only 1% of the mass flux that passed through the soil column. Primidone had the highest percent mass discharge, but it went in at the lowest concentration of the ones that I highlighted. Generally, higher percent mass discharge was associated with higher leaching and sandy soils. But based on the low masses that we saw in the drainage, that user reclaimed water as an irrigation source seems to be an environmentally acceptable alternative than to directly release it to a body of water, except perhaps with conditions that are very sandy with high leaching and low groundwater tables. So I just want to acknowledge the funding sources, and I will try to entertain any questions you may have.